Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for your grace has been sufficient this last 1 year. Every day we give you the praise for the strength. But Lord, we are not done. Hallelujah. You command some more and we do by your grace and your power. For which of you, the Lord said, will have a servant? And we send him into the field to do some work, and then when he comes back, he will tell him to go and sit down to meat. Will he not even send him a few more errands and make him serve the master first? Wherefore he said, you know, after you have done all these things, say that you are unprofitable servants who have only done our duty. Lord, today we say, Lord, that we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which was our duty to do. But we thank you for counting us worthy to be planted in the vineyard of the Lord as workers for you. Glory to God. Now, the entrance of your word, Lord, we know brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let it shine forth, even that light in our hearts this morning. We give you, Lord, praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today, the title of the room is going to be Establishment, Empowerment, and Enlargement. Well, establishment means being rooted and grounded in Him. Well, so we're going to cover the three phases of what the Lord has been doing with us in this room. You know, we've been, when we started exactly a year ago, the Lord was trying to establish something, you know, and we didn't know how it was going to be. So we want the Lord to receive the praise for all that he has done. Now, also, because of his goodness, he gave us the grace to continue. And we give him all the glory and all the praise. Now, we were established. We've been established, rooted and grounded in him. And now we've been trying to go into the empowerment phase. That's right. Or you might also call it engagement phase, you know, in which we've been trying to empower others, engage others to take ownership. Praise the Lord. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, let's just read a couple of verses about establishment. Ephesians 3 and verse 17. We are told this is the prayer that, you know, Paul was praying for the Ephesians. He said that he would grant, that God will grant you, that's us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might, hallelujah, you know, in our hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded, you know, so in love, and we may be able to comprehend all the saints, what's the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, you know, the Lord has established this room, and we give him the praise for that. He also said, look, that we should, you know, no longer be children, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. So we've been doing that the last year, you know, trying to get us established in the faith, you know, and also, you know, the scripture says that we may be established in the present truth. You know, so these are some of the things that we have been trying to cover the last 1 year, and cover that by the grace of God we have. And, you know, in the middle of all of that, we also went to trying to engage people. But let me read you a scripture first about being established in the present truth. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's pick it up from verse 12. And these are scriptures which we have given before over the last few months. And we're just doing a quick review. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, even though you know them. But I want you to be established in the present truth. That's what he said. And he said, well, I think it made as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So we've been covering the present truth, debunking some myths and unlearning some things that brought leaven into our understanding. And then we went, so that is the establishment phase. Inside all of that as well, we were trying to do the engagement phase, or what you might call empowerment phase. Hallelujah. You know, encouraging the body ministry, making us realize that, look, even though we are many members, we are still one body. And the body is comprised of many members. And every member needed to do his own bit. You know, so the body is not one member, but many. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14. Now, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Also, if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? What about if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now, for God has set every one of us members in the body, even as it has pleased him. You know, so, you are all one member, where were the body? So we've been trying to do the engagement, the enablement, the empowerment, to make people realize that this is not a one-man room. It's a fellowship of believers. Cannot be one body. Cannot be one member. It's got to be one body, but there's many members in that body. There are many of us. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. You know, neither can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. So that's the empowerment phase. And that's right where we were as we were closing out that first 1 year. Now we are on the verge of something new, which is called the enlargement or the increasing phase. Now, these are the three phases of ministry, but I'm going to do something prophetic about that today. Because we are in the enlargement phase, which is the increasing part of this platform, the ministry, that's where we are right now, starting today, we're going to bring it also prophetically into our lives. And, you know, these three, I'm going to put it to you like this. And it's going to be the last push. You can call it pull. You can call it push. And God is going to do to get the elect into position. The several calls, and I'm going to read to you some stories here in a bit, in Luke 14, you know, and also Matthew 22. In these places, Jesus talking about, again, illustrations on how the kingdom of God is and the things that are in his mind. A certain man, he said, made a great supper, Luke 14 and 16, and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidding, come, for all things are now ready. But all of them with one consent began to make excuses. The first one said unto him, oh, I bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it, so I pray you have me excused. Huh? Another one said, well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to go prove them. I pray you have me excused. And yet another said, I've married a wife. Now, you can see all the cares of the life when they got the invitation. And therefore, I cannot come. Well, so the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then his master, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And he went out and did as he was commanded. And yet there was room. So he came back and said, Master, I've done all of these things. And yet there was room left. And so the Lord said unto him, well, go again, this time into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. But I say unto you, he said, those men who are beaten at first shall not taste of my supper. Now that's a, you know, there are two sides to that story. You know, that's a dangerous place for anyone to be, that we lose the opportunity of, you know, they were called, but they gave every kind of excuse and then they lost it. You know, but at the end, you know, he sent out several calls, and, at the end of the day, it's look, compel them to come in. There's something that is about to happen, you know, to bring in the final harvest. Now, Matthew 22 tells it a little bit differently. In this place, he calls it the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. This is Matthew 22 and verse 2, which made a marriage for his son. Similar story, but this one is a little bit different. Sent for the servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. You know. And then he sent for the other servants. And I said, look, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed. Everything is ready. Come to the marriage. And they made light of it and went to their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And they took, you know, the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. So when the king was wrath with them, sent forth his armies and destroyed all those murderers, burned up their city. Then he said to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out to the highways and gathered together all they found, both bad and good. Now remember, you know, let them both grow together. Furnished the wedding with guests. And when the king came in, because they gathered both bad and good, the king came in and saw the guests, and saw that there was one there, you know, among the not so good, that did not have on a wedding garment. Friend, he said to him, how camest thou in here, hither, without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, bind him hard and foot, cast him away into outer darkness. I shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For there be many called, but few are chosen. There are different aspects of these stories. And yet another place talked about, at the last he sent his son, and so forth. And then they said, well, this is his son. Well, let's just kill him and get everything. So the essence I want to bring out here is that God has been reaching out and sending out and trying to get the people in. At the end of the age, though, although this lesson with the wedding garment is a different one, I won't go into it today, but we see that there was a last push, several calls had gone out, and one last push. And there's a song we sing that says, the third call and the last pull is when God will seal the bride elect. Well, and I add to that and say, well, that's when God gathers his elect together for one last work, the great outpouring, that he has promised, and bring an impact that's going to change lives. This is the phase where we are right now. In the spirit, in the ministry, we are in that last work phase. And also for us as individuals, you can also think of it as you are in the enlargement phase. Now, I'm going to use that to pray over the room today, both for the ministry. When I'm talking about ministry, I'm talking about this platform. The work that we are doing here on this platform, the word of God that is spreading and growing, and how it must now enter into the enlargement phase. And those of you who have been empowered, we got moderators now. You've been engaged. We got many people engaged. Now, we got to get together and work for this last push. On the individual front, though, here's what the Lord is doing when it comes to your life. Well, you've been established in the faith. You've been rooted and grounded in him. Hallelujah. You've also been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus said you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And also Luke 24 and verse 49. It says, wait and tarry for the endowment of power. And we've received these things. So we've been established in the Lord. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We come in the Lord that way. We were established. Holy Spirit came into our lives for the endowment of power, so we were empowered. But now there is a last push for us to be enlarged. Enlargement is what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 15, and where he said, look, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Now, every branch in me that is not fruitful, well, here's what's going to happen to you. Jesus said, my Father would get rid of it. But for those that are fruitful, he's going to purge them so that they may bring forth even more fruit. Now, that's the enlargement. The fruit must be brought forth. Now, he goes on to say, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, John 15 and verse 4, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, I am the vine, he says it again, and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bring forth much fruit. Now, that's the enlargement. But without me, you can do nothing. Now, if a man abide not in me, on the other hand, he's cast out as a branch, he's withered, men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask whatsoever. That's right. Whatsoever you will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's the enlargement. Much fruit, not just some fruit. No, much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The Father wants us to bear much fruit. He wants us to be increased. Hallelujah. Paul, in all of his writings, telling, particularly when he was writing to the Ephesians, which he loved dearly, he would tell them, look, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. You know, he said, look, I pray, I cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers. Ephesians 1 and 16, after I heard of your faith. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that your eyes of understanding be enlightened, and you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, and the inheritance of his saints, and so forth. And that you may experience the exceeding greatness of his power. Then he jumps down here to Ephesians chapter 3, and he begins to say the same kind of prayer again. He said, look, I pray that God will grant you, in verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, that you'll be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, we read that before, may comprehend all these things, and that you may know the love of God. You know, then he comes down here in Ephesians chapter 4 and tells him that, look, tells all of them and us that this is what God is doing. He wants us, he wants the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, in Ephesians 4 verse 16, you know, and that we will walk in the measure of every part, making increase of that body unto the edifying of self in love. Increase. So we are in the increase phase. Well, here are some of the things that are helping us in the increase phase. Verse 11 of Ephesians 4. He gave us apostles. He gave us prophets. He gave us evangelists. He gave us pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of his saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the Son of Man. I mean, the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The measure, you know, we're going to the measure. Well, we're not there yet, but we're coming there to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're increasing in him. So this increase phase is where we are now. Also, at a personal level, I'm trying to cover this from both angles, in Isaiah chapter 54, and I remember that the Lord, you know, for a couple of years now, God's been telling us some things, you know, and this year also, the word of the Lord that came to me to give to people at our church, and I also brought it on this platform, was that we will emerge, you know, and that was on the, you know, on the heels of, you know, some of the things that the Lord was telling us last year and the year before. And emerging means many things. It means in spiritually, it also means physically, in every which way. You know, and now we are on the verge of something spectacular. And here's how the Lord puts it to us in the book of Isaiah chapter 54. We are right at this point, prophetically, where he says, you know, sing, O barren, Isaiah 54 verse 1. Thou didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry allowed thou didst that this not travail with child. For more, now this is increase, more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. So the one that said, I did not bear, will even have more. You know, that's increase. Now here's another increase. Enlarge the place of your tent. That's increase. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. That's increase. Spare not. Lengthen. Increase your cords. Increase your reach. And strengthen your stakes. Why? Because you will increase. You will break forth on the right. You will break forth on the left. That's increase. Your seed will inherit the Gentiles. That's increase. You make the desolate cities to be inhabited. That's increase. Hallelujah. You will not be ashamed and you will not be confounded. That's increase. What more again is increase? Well, let's take a look again. Here's what the Lord said it, the way he said it to Abraham. He said to him, he said, look, I want you to increase your vision. You have to increase your vision. If you do not increase your vision, you can't get it. In order for you to increase your vision, well, here's what he said to you. He said in Genesis 13 and 14, to Abraham, after that Lord was separated from him, he said to Abraham, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are. Never mind where you were before, but where you are right now, there won't increase from this point on. Now, what is the increase? Well, look northward, increase your vision. Increase your faith horizon. Now look northward, increase your vision northward. Look southward, increase your vision southward. Look eastward, increase your vision eastward. Look westward, increase your vision westward. For all, now that's A-L-L, for all the land that you can see. If you can increase your vision, and if you can see it, hallelujah, if you can see it, everything that you can see, well, I can't do more than you can see. But you got to see it. Hallelujah. You got to see it by your faith. You got to increase your faith horizon. What's a horizon? Horizon is that imaginary line where it appears as if the sky meets the ground. And that's as far as you can see. You can't see beyond that. Now, if you go higher, the higher you go, the farther out your horizon becomes. If you climb up to a 100-story building, then your horizon could be 5 miles out. If you're on the ground, your horizon is probably just a few hundred feet. So the higher you go, there's actually a formula for it, the further out you can see your horizon. So if you can climb over you can climb higher than all the things that obstruct your view, you might be able to see as far out as 5 miles. But there's only so much that you can see, but you have to keep going higher to increase your faith horizon. And the Lord says, the more you can see, the more I'll give you. Now, if you can see it, it's kind of like what Ephesians 3:20 says. It says, well, if you can think it, I can do it. And I can do it even more. He said, God's able to make all grace abound towards you. So we know that God is able to do all things. He's able to do exceeding. Now that's increase. Abundantly, that's increase. Above, that's increase. All that you can ask or think, which means if you can think it, I can do it. And even more. Now, I'm saying to you today, if you can see it, but you got to see it. You've got to dream it. You've got to see it. This is the way things work, even in the ministry, even in your personal life. You got to see, you got to have that vision. Jesus, he saw it from before the world began. He wanted to bring many sons unto glory. So he said in John 12:24, you know, as long as, you know, I'm here and until I die, I'll be alone. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. He was talking about himself. But when he dies, he brings forth more increase, abundance. Well, you know, he was trying to do it while he was here physically. At first, he got only 12. You know, they went to 70. They went to 120. Now, maybe 500. But that was about it. But, you know, by the time he died and came out of that grave, I mean, just look at the increase. Look at where we are now. Millions and millions and millions and millions of people have come to believe in the Lord. You know, and Jesus saw it. And he saw it. And he said, look, you know, I can see you guys are in right now, but I'm looking for others as well. He said, look, I've got you guys, but that's not the end. It's a little thing that I should make you salvation to the Jews. I will also extend you as salvation to the Gentiles. And Jesus himself said, look, other sheep I have that are not yet of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 16. You know, what did he mean? Well, he was seeing it. He had to see it. He had to call it in order to get it. He was seeing that he was going to be firstborn among many brethren. Not the only born. Well, he was the firstborn, but he was not going to be the only one. He had to have an increase according to Romans, you know, chapter 8. We are told that the plan from the beginning was of a magnitude of increase. So I'm talking about enlargement today. Increase today. The idea is that he will be firstborn among many brethren. He will increase and increase. And you also must increase and increase. Enlarge the place of your tent. Well, think bigger. Strengthen your cords. Have a greater reach. Well, see more. See more, get more. Hallelujah. That's what God told Abraham. See more. If you can see it, I'll give it to you. But if you don't see it, well, that's all. Whatever you see is what I give you. So, you know, well, all that Abraham had to do was find a vantage point. That's right. That's all he had to do. Find a vantage point where nothing will be blocking his vision. Now, if I tell you to go outside your house right now and look and try to find your horizon, other houses in the neighborhood will be blocking your view. In my house, when I come out, there's houses everywhere. They'll be blocking my view. But if I can find a way to rise above all those obstructions that are blocking my view, you know, I'm preaching already, can find a way to rise above all those obstructions that are blocking your view, then you will be able to see farther out. But, you know, you may be able to see above the bungalow. What about the high-rise buildings? What about even the higher ones? So you got to go higher still to see beyond those things. How do we go higher? Well, that's what we've been trying to do in these rooms, taking us higher. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line. Here, you know, preset upon preset. But today, I want to talk about enlargement and increase. And that's what I'm talking about now. So I'll be praying in just a few minutes for enlargement, a special outpouring of the power of God to bring an increase that in such a way, increase of his power, increase of his anointing that will transform lives. And then in your life as individuals, increase of the grace of God, increase of the inspiration of the Almighty within you. Increase of knowledge, you know. Now, what you know is what gives you an advantage. I've taught that in our wisdom series. So, God must give you increase of knowledge to give you an advantage. An advantage. You understand what God is doing. That gives you an advantage. You understand how the Spirit of God is moving. That gives you an advantage. And God wants you to increase and not diminish. In fact, he told the children of Israel, he said, look, even if they carry you away captive, don't worry about it. You know, marry your children away. You know, find wives for your sons so that you may increase and not diminish. God always wants us to increase. Now, if we are not increasing, you know, we're stagnant, that doesn't impress God too much. Because he said, I want you to bear much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified. Now, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, as in Galatians chapter 5, you know, that's fruit of the Spirit that we must bear. Bearing fruit in the works of God, that's fruit that we must bear. You know, one time somebody came to Jesus and said, what might I do that I might do the works of God? I said, well, believe on him whom he has sent. And Jesus himself said in John 4 and 34, this is my meat. This is how I roll. This is what I eat. This is, you know, this is my thing, that I may do the works, you know, I mean, the will of him that sent me and finish his work. You know, and he was consumed by that. Well, we can increase in the works. Paul said, look, I pray that God will give you all grace that you may abound in all good works. That's increase. We got to abound in increase. You know, also means in winning souls for the kingdom. We got to abound in that increase as well. I mean, everything that we do now that we are in the enlargement and increasing phase, we must be on the increase and on the rise. And then personally speaking, you must also be on the increase. You know, you cannot be satisfied with the status quo. Now, we're not talking about, you know, eyes that are full of envy. We're not talking about, you know, eyes that are not satisfied with things that God gave us. We're not talking about that. But we are talking of whatever is in God's realm. Whatever God has given in his realm, then that belongs to us. If he has not given it, that's his, you know, prerogative. But if he has given it, now God has dished out many things. We are told that he has given us indeed, actually, all things, you know, that pertain to life and godliness. But why is it that we don't have all things? You know, well, because we can only have as much as we can believe for, and we can only see, I mean, you know, as far as we can see, that's all God can give us. Listen to this in 2 Peter 1 and 3. You know, he said, look, according as God has given unto us all things, you know, that pertain, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to virtue and glory, whereby given unto us exceeding, that's even increase, great and precious promises. You know, that's everything that God does. He's always running over. It's exceeding. It's abundant. This is how he does it. He called himself abundant in goodness and mercy. I mean, increasing. One time they came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus knew that that's something they needed to do, but he was showing them the way to do it. The way you do it is use what you already got. He didn't say, you know, that, oh, it's not a good thing. He said, well, you know, that's a good thing. However, the way to do it is for you to use what you already got. Even if you think you only have a little faith, use it. If you know how to use your little faith, it'll grow. Unlike physical money or currency, where the more you use it, the less you have. I mean, if you have $1,000 and you go on a spending spree and spend, the more you spend, the less of that $1,000 you have. Now, that's this currency. The currency in the kingdom, though, of faith is on the opposite. The more you use it, the more you have. So use your faith. And this is the thing. Your faith gives God permission, you know, and it opens the windows of heaven for those things to keep pouring in. So today, I am going to pray over many things. Increase in your life. Now, wellness is another area where God wants us to increase. 3 John 2. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Prosper means increase. You know, if you are at level 1, increase to level 2 in knowledge. If you have $10, prosper means you get more. You know, you get now $20. If you have 20, you get 100. That's prosper. You know, that means increase. I mean, the scripture is full of increase. God doesn't want us to be diminutive or diminished, but he wants us to increase. Hallelujah. So now, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to pray. One, I want you to pray with me for this platform. That's number one. Because we want the word of God to grow and to increase and to multiply. And you know, in the early church, the Bible says they had increase daily. God added to the church such as should be saved. Now, God was the one that did the adding. However, we do all that we can. You know, and in Acts chapter 12 and 24, it says, the word of God grew and multiplied. So that's the first prayer we're going to take today. And I'm going to invite everybody to join me in that prayer for the room so that the word of God, like Acts 12 and 24, might grow and be multiplied through this platform. That's number one. And then we're going to turn around. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you. First, we're going to do that. We're going to pray for the increase of the word of God. The word of God must increase. That means God must give us a greater outpouring. God must give us a greater, you know, release of his spirit. And the Lord promised us something that is absolutely amazing. There is an epic, or you might call it a saga of events that's going to happen in church history. It is absolutely this last pool, this thing that God is about to do now. And he said, look, even those who have seen great works before that the Lord has done, what the Lord is now about to do, you know, it will make them look as nothing. The glory of this latter house, he said. That's Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9. Shall be greater. Now, greater is increase. Shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord. In this place, the Lord said, I will give peace, saith the Lord. Now, it's always going to be an increase. These were the things that God followed. Promised to follow. All right. So let's pray. I invite those of you who are with us on this platform, those of you who are on platform right now, I'm going to invite you in a minute to pray with me for increase of the word of God, that it will grow, that it will multiply, that it will catch on like fire. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then I am going to also turn around and then pray for everyone in the room for personal increase in your life. Now, before I do that, let me read to you a scripture. This is where it all started last year. And after this, I'm going to go into prayers. In the book of Genesis, chapter 8, this was where I started 1 year ago. So it's a good thing to reflect back on this scripture. In Genesis chapter 8, God remembered Noah and every living thing. You know, remember how the Lord called for the flood. And Noah had to build the ark. And God instructed him how to bring the animals into the ark and all of that. And when God shut the door, he opened the windows of heaven and rain. Like they've never seen rain before. Rain until the whole earth was flooded, destroyed all lives and everything, except those who were in the ark. Now, God remembered Noah, though, and all the cattle and all the living thing that was with him in the ark, and made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Now, I'm going to be using these texts in prayers today for you. The fountains also of the deeps and the windows of heaven that were had been opened up, pouring this flood out on them, stopped. The rain, heaven was restrained. The waters returned from the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, that's 5 months, the waters were abated. And the earth rested. Now that means come to a halt. The ark was not tired, so the ark only came to a halt. The ark came to a halt in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Now listen to verse 5. And the waters decreased continually. This is the text 1 year ago. The waters decreased continually until the 10th month. Well, are we in the 10th month? The 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the 10th month, such as this, were the tops of the mountains seen. So I've been praying. I couldn't really sleep all night. I was just praying. I said, Lord, let the waters be assuaged. The tempests, the storms, and everything, you know, tossing you up and down. You're trying to reach for something, but the storm blows you this way. You are in the boat. You're trying to reach for something. It blows you that way. You can't get it. And it's just blowing you this way and that way. But the Lord said, on a day such as this, the waters have been receding. Somebody, a sister gave a testimony about this yesterday. The waters have been receding, but on a day such as this, all of a sudden, things are within reach. Glory to God. Things are now within reach. The mountains that have been covered up, all these waters and so forth, all of a sudden now, the top of the mountains are visible. It's now within reach. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to pray about that for everyone that's in the room. But first, let's pray for increase in the word of God. Father, I thank you for your word that must increase. It's been sown a seed and it must increase. First the blade, then the ear, then the full ear, corn in the ear. So Lord, it's coming. It's been coming in phases. And we've been through the establishment phase, empowerment phase, and now the enlargement phase. And we must increase. The word of God must increase and must grow. I pray in the name of Jesus. Send the increase. Send the increase. Even God said we should pray for laborers. That's an increase in laborers. We should pray for increase in harvest. God wants increase in everything. We pray for laborers because the harvest is ripe, but laborers are few. We need an increase. Even laborers, we need an increase in the harvest. You know, you've been going out with, bearing precious seed that your tears of faith bring in a harvest of joy. That's an increase too. Hallelujah. So I want us to thank God together. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.